Okay, so we're going to catch up with Justin Wadsworth, the head coach of the Canadian team, and find out about how the team's been going. There's a transition to a new model to try and get the development channel going better and just improve the whole pipeline and try to get things started for the next quadrennial. And so there's been a few changes, brought on Toran Hetland for the team to help with the coaching. And we've got Justin Wadsworth on the line. Are you there, Justin?
I am. Thanks, Benjamin.
Okay, so we're excited to talk with you and find out about the team. There's the training camps and, of course, a little bit of summer vacation, but everybody's kind of hard at work anticipating the beginning of the next season. And we'd like to start off a little bit by, you know, just getting your comments on the transition. We know there was an announcement in May or April, May, when you guys kind of figured out where you wanted to go and start off the next quadrennial. Why don't you walk us through a little bit about that and some of the training camps that have taken place up to this point?
Yeah, so I mean, first off, the transition, you know, we looked back very hard at the last season and the last 4 years, and, you know, we really felt like there was a couple things that needed to kind of change. One, in my personal life, I really felt like if I wanted to continue coaching, which I did, I needed to travel less. So that was the first impetus to look at a different coaching model than we've currently been going with the last 4 years. But at the same time, we also realized that change is good, and our athletes were wanting a little more consistency. We had, you know, we had three World Cup coaches that were working in kind of a cycle and traveling over to Europe, and they gave us some feedback that they wanted a little bit more consistency there of a coach that's with them more consistent through the winter on the World Cup circuit. So we looked at those things and came up with a coaching strategy that we felt, you know, was at least good on paper and made sense to us. And that was bringing Toran Hetland in to kind of oversee the World Cup team and to really, you know, be that consistent presence on the World Cup over in Europe during the winter and at all every training camp. And you know, so far I really think that's been the right call. The guys have really taken to him well, and he's been really, really a positive, straightforward, and he works really hard and is really a good person for our team. And I think it'll only get better as the winter goes along. So that's been a nice addition for our team. And mm-hmm. Like I said, the guys have really enjoyed his presence. He brings a lot of knowledge and history and working with different teams. And also, you know, still comes from a place from an athlete. And you know, that's the way I've coached the last 4 years, you know, remembering my time as an athlete and what's important. And I think Toran and brings the same kind of quality, so he's been a really good piece to our team.
Sure.
So that's been in the coaching changes in a nutshell, and we've kept Louis Bouchard on as a World Cup coach. Mm-hmm. And so Louis and Toran will be there for a majority of the winter. Mm-hmm. I'll also fill in three times during the winter at the beginning of the season, then half the Tour de Ski and help lead the team at the World Championships. Sure. So, but the rest of the time it's TA and Louis and I think we're in good hands there.
Sure. I mean, Toran has a history of, you know, quite a resume himself. And like you say, having raced and coaching, it gives you that perspective to help to know what the athletes need and how to make it through the tough times and the good times, so to speak.
Yeah, and most recently he's been with a country, the country of Switzerland, which is pretty similar to Canada in a lot of ways, just the size of the team and the amount, the talent pool they're drawing from and some of the other challenges. So he does come from a team with also, you know, Dario Colonia is one of the best skiers in the world. So he's been in a system not that unsimilar to ours. So it's he's fit in well already and gotten up to speed. And he's currently at a training camp with the team in Stratton,
yep.
Vermont. So it's going well.
Great, and we're hoping to talk to him. I've been in touch with him, and so hopefully we're going to get a chat with him and find out just what's going down in Stratton and what's been going on so far. So How many camps has the team had so far?
So this will be the third camp. We started with one on snow here in near Canmore Banff, which is the Sunshine Mountain Resort. They were right. really kind and did a fantastic job grooming for us and setting us up with training there.
And when was that?
That was in late May.
Okay.
And we had great skiing, just amazing weather, which is kind of unexpected for that time of year around here, but just really nailed a great camp there on snow. Then the team went down for a dry land camp at the end of June, beginning of July, down to Bend, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And we were joined there by Thunder Bay Training Center and the Pierre Harvey Training Center. So okay. Timo Purius from Thunder Bay and Louis Bouchard came out with his coaches from Quebec. And then the World Cup team was there, and a few athletes from the academy here in Canmore were there. And it was an amazing group. We had about 30 athletes. And
oh, that's nice.
A whole heap of coaches, and that camp went really well. And then now, currently, the World Cup team is just the four World Cup athletes are in Stratton Mountain, Vermont, and Sverry Caldwell and Andy Newell and the crew there have been really kind in helping us run that camp, or at least showing us the best places. And Louis and Torani are there with the guys, and it's been going very well. So those are our three camps so far, and then we the next camp will be Park City for a long altitude camp in the end of September, beginning of October.
Okay. So it looks like the two North American teams, because I was talking to Matt, and of course you probably know that they had their women's camp, the NADA, North American Women's Training Alliance, I guess, and then the guys also, and they trained up on the Eagle Glacier, and so both teams seem to be staying in North America for this time around anyways, where you've gone to the snow farm in the past. Was there a conscious decision to want to stay in North America this time?
Yeah, it's all about the money. Yeah, I think both teams, you know, their budgets aren't that great this year. We've had our budget cut quite a bit, and mm-hmm. I know the U.S. team as well. So, you know, it's good to get back to basics, stay in North America, look for opportunities here that maybe the traveling's a little bit easier and cheaper, and
sure.
So that's been I think the mantra for both teams. And. And although we had planned to go to New Zealand, that didn't work out. And they're having a good dry land camp now, and we'll be on Frozen Thunder here in Canmore in October. So I think we'll get plenty of skiing in at that time. So it's been more of a matter of funding. But you know, I'd really like to keep the New Zealand option open for the future, because it has treated us very well down
sure.
there and been a great camp for us in the past.
Sure, there's good racing and good snow, and it's always everything's been good. Everything we've heard from there, from both you guys and the U.S. team, has always been positive. Just a quick question, because we talked about the Hay Glacier in the past, and I know that there's been, you know, there's been a lot of good training there, and the Americans were on Eagle Glacier. So is there a reason you guys weren't or haven't used Hay, or is there a plan to do something?
Well, we're taking the Alberta World Cup Academy team up there starting August 18th. And so we'll be, you know, that's the academy is where a majority of our B, C, and D team members are housed, basically. And mm-hmm. so we'll be taking that team up there. So we are using it. The World Cup team may be accessing it at some point. We're still looking at how that might fit into the training plan and
sure.
if there's some trips available to get up there. But, yeah, you know, it's some in some ways it's not the easiest place to access the snow. You have to hike, you know, 30 to 45 minutes one way up from the base camp, and although the skiing's great and the whole facility in general is very good, it's at the very highest level in cross country skiing. The exposure up there with the amount of training and stuff might not be the best for our World Cup team. So
mm-hmm.
we've looked at it, and, you know, we are using it with the academy.
Sure.
And a lot of the other clubs are using it during the summer, so it is getting used, and I think it's working well for those people using it.
Sure. Is the Eagle Glacier an option? I mean, it's also in North America. Just thinking about the concept of keeping the teams here from cost standpoint, but also, you know, having the facilities.
Yeah, and that's something we'll look at in the future for sure. If Eric and the APU crowd up there have the room and space to invite some mm-hmm. Canucks, then you know, I think that's an option. This year, we had, like I said, we had planned to go to New Zealand, and then we got our budget back so late that we kind of had to scramble and make some changes. Sure. Everything was kind of delayed about a month from Own the Podium for our funding. So we really didn't get our budget until late this year, and had to just kind of retool things. But anyways, I think Eagle Glacier could be a really good option for our team in the future, although Alaska is a fairly expensive place to fly to. So we'll look into it.
But it's there. It's an option, and it's nice to know that it's possibly available. And the APU team is always ready to mix it up with the crowd. I understand the U.S. team was pretty happy to have them just to race off against each other. And talking to Andy Newell, there was some nice little rivalries that I'm sure that exists on both teams.
And they've taken care of our ladies and Eric Denies up there in years past.
Sure.
So I think the relationship is there, and they run a good program up there. So I'm definitely keep it in our back pocket.
Sure. Just to, you were mentioning about the academy, and I know that you're spending more time there, and I know that the development of the pipeline is an important part of how you're looking at the bigger picture to bring more skiers in. Talk a little bit about where you're at on that sort of on that treadmill to bring it forward.
Yeah, it's ongoing and pretty major discussion that I think a lot of people in the ski community are having, and we're having it on an ongoing basis. But right now the plan is just to keep trying to do the best we can with our skiers that, have already reached a certain level or in training centers, whether they're in Thunder Bay or PR Harvey Training Center or here at the Academy. And as far as my role goes, I'm helping oversee the two coaches there, which are Stefan Kuhn and Chris Jeffries. And it's been great for me to have to work with those guys and have access to the athletes. And just did a sprint workout with the women this morning here in Canmore on roller skis. And it's just been really fun to work with more of a developmental team level athlete. It's a little different than just doing the fine tuning we do with the World Cup guys. So
sure.
I've really enjoyed it so far. And I think Steph and Chris are doing a great job in the academy in general. All the athletes are happy and doing well. So it's exciting. And I just hope that this trickles down. I know that they're also working hard with the Alberta ski team and the clubs in Alberta, and we just need to be doing that at every level across the country, from the World Cup team to the training centers to the clubs, and trying to just build a positive, healthy ski community.
Yeah, no, I think that was one of the most important things that I was looking at when I read going over the changes, just thinking about the how to bring new skiers in and taking it, like you said, it's interesting for you to see, hey, what's going on at that level as opposed to the World Cup level, which you've lived at for many years, and now you can really see where you need to add manpower or just ideas and how to bring the whole family, like you said, together, the community across the country, because there's lots of great skiers.
Yeah, and it's a system that in a lot of ways it's hard sometimes to make that jump from the development level to the World Cup level. The opportunities, aren't that great. You have to, a lot of the athletes need to race more in Europe, and we're aware of that and trying to make some changes. I know a big part of our budget, even though our World Cup team budget got cut in a lot of areas, the budget has increased on the development side for trips in Europe. So Cross Country Canada is very aware of trying to at least help that gap. And then, I think like the Alberta World Cup Academy has done a good job reaching out.
Sure.
at the club level in Alberta also to help bridge that gap. So it is working, it takes time and
yep.
energy, but it is going.
Yeah. And you need to have that sort of constant, attention to it in a sense, so that it keeps going in the right direction and where you need it to go to bring in the skiers and, like you said, build that community. Okay, so before going to or going forward, so we've talked a little bit about the development and the guys in Stratton. One of the areas where there's sort of been some, what's happening with the women's side, and I know that, Chandra's retired, And Dash is no longer on the team. I think she's also kind of moved into another segment. So tell us a bit what's happening with the women, because it has been a very strong part of the sport, as you know. I mean, you're married to Becky Scott, and of course those days are somewhat behind us. But tell us what's happening now with the women.
Yeah, you know, it's funny if you look at historically, it does ebb and flow both on the men's and women's side, and that's no excuse not to do everything we can for our women's program. We are keenly aware of the issues that, you know, we have in front of us and some of the obstacles we have to clear. But, you know, again, it happens on a daily basis and at a level, a coach athlete level, and even at the development level, to make sure that the athletes, as they come out of high school, the female athletes have a reason to keep skiing and have avenues to access, you know, school or other things like that. So there's been a lot of talk in our spring meetings, and I think, you know, there continues to be a lot of talk of the best way to make sure we can try to grow our women's program at the academy and development level. We're just trying to really, you know, have our women train together as much as possible and work together as a group to support each other, because there's not the numbers, you know, we're not just going to be able to crank through and train everybody super hard and have, sure, you know, five athletes come out and make the World Cup team. We have a small number of athletes to work with, and we're really trying to do everything we can to support them. And at the same time, you know, be aware of it across the country with women of different ages. We just sent one of the women here, Daria Beatty, back to Louis's group to train with women a little bit more her own age versus, you know, she trains a lot here with Heidi Widmer and Perry Ann Jones and Emily Nishikawa, who are all a bit older than she is. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, strategize ways to keep the athletes interested and focused and training well. But the bottom line is, you know, just consistent training, and skiing is a sport that just takes a lot of years Yeah, it's a lot more fun to train and work hard when you have a bunch of peers to do that with. And so the women, you know, the women's groups are really important. And Chris Jeffries has done a good job here at the academy and tried to make some special camps just for the women. They went out to Invermere and did just a women's camp out there. Uh-huh. And yeah, we're just trying to do things at least at the every level around here that we can. It's not an easy thing, but we'll see what happens, and just you know, always listening and looking out for opportunities and ideas to make it better.
So I know that you mentioned Perry Ann and Emily and Heidi. So are they all skiing with the team this year?
Yeah, they're all skiing with the team and been training together along with Brittany Webster. And Daria Beatty. So there's a solid five girls that are a part of the academy here. You know, they're working well together and training hard. I really hope that can kind of carry on to the next level down from them.
Sure. It's part of the rebuilding process. You got to start somewhere, and you're starting now and going forward. And that's a good core group. And hopefully that can keep going forward and rebuild to the days when, like we were talking, when Becky and Sarah were, of course, leading the waving the Canadian flag, you know, around the world. The Fast and Female program that Chandra has, is there any connection there with the team?
You know, they're for sure affiliated with Cross Country Canada and supported by Cross Country Canada, but there's no direct, I would say, you know, pipeline from the events that they do, but they do a great job at keeping girls and communities enthused about sports and giving them good motivation and good life lessons and things like that. So the work that they're doing definitely helps. You know, it just comes down to making sure that there's good opportunities for girls as they graduate high school. A lot of times they're in good programs, junior clubs and whatnot. But, you know, in Canada, it's tough when you graduate high school. You know, what do you do if you're in a training center? You know, you're a little bit young to go in a training center, but you know, do you, there's not the university programs like they have in the States. And so, you know, we really have to be, I think, forward thinking in the next couple of years to make sure that those opportunities are out there for that, that to bridge that gap of, you know, 17, 18, 19 year old women and keep them in the sport, because it's a great sport, and, you know, they need the numbers, because if it's just the solitary, you know, one or two women yep. in a club or whatever, it's just not that much fun for them.
Yeah, it's tougher, and yeah, you need a little bit of mass, and that tends to be a bit easier with the guys. But it sounds like you're doing what you can to elevate that that level of camaraderie and bring the gals into the sport. So good luck with that, and So now looking ahead to the, or looking at the World Cup team, the four guys that are in Stratton, and how is the training going? What are you hearing in from the from Tor Arne and Louis and yourself with the team?
Yeah, I think things are going well back there. Alex had a little stomach bug, and Lenny had a little infection that he's getting over in his foot. But you know, they've done a time trial and some intensity workouts back there, and overall, it's going very well. Devin had just been in Norway. He did some races at the Blink
yep.
Festival over there and did quite well. I mean, he broke a pole in the uphill roller ski race there, but he seems to be doing well. Ivan's put in some solid training. Lenny had a very good classic time trial with the group, so I think that was a distance race, and he was really quite strong, so that was nice to see him back in distance form. And Alex is, of course, you know, as good as always. He's just solid and yep. training well and skiing fast, so it's going really well back there. The roller skiing has been great for him, and you know, we just knew that Stratton was a place that Andy and Simi and, you know, their whole T2 group there trains out of, and we thought it'd be good to go somewhere new, somewhere where Alex and Louis could drive down to. So, you know, they're always flying, you know, to New Zealand or out to Canmore yeah. or wherever. So they drove down to this camp, and it's been, I think, really a good thing for everybody there.
Yeah, very good. It's close, and you know, you have a good core group of people to help with knowing what the area can offer, and you know, get you on the tough terrain or whatever terrain you're looking for. Talking about Lenny, just because I know that his knee was, of course, part of the problem for him last year. Is that completely behind him? Is he fully, you know, back to 100% there?
No, I don't think his knee is ever going to be, you know, it's not just his one knee. Now, it's funny, he talks about his good knee and his bad knee, but sometimes his bad knee is better than his good knee these days. I mean, I think, you know, when you have someone of that size and putting the kind of torque on the joints that happen in cross-country skiing and skating and just kind of the general load when you're 6'5", it's really hard on your joints. And Lenny's done a really good job this year. He's really worked hard and been following through with his stretching and his constant rehab and just listening to his knees and knowing when to back it off and when to push it. And that's showing, like I said, you know, with his distance time trial,
sure.
You know, he's in good shape, and it's been really fun to see him put the hard work in and see the payoff. And he just, I think he knows that he really has to stay on top of his knees all the time. It's
sure.
going to be as long as he ski races, it's going to be, his knees are going to be, you know, not an issue, but they're going to be there, and he's going to have to take care of them. So,
yeah.
You know, there's no current, you know, medical issues though. And they're just, he just has to kind of nurse them along all the time. But he's done a good job with it. So
great.
It'll be exciting to see him back on the trails this winter at his best.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to seeing him out there. He's had such a good start a couple of years ago and a tough year last year, but we look forward to seeing Lenny in there in the mix and fighting for podiums. So talk a little bit about Devin. You know, a tough year for him, but he started to come on a bit better at the end. And how's he feeling? How's his health? How's his headspace coming into this season?
Yeah, I think really good, you know, and, you know, last year was a tough year. He still got a second place on the podium in the Tour de Ski, and and had some really good races at the World Cup final. He was kind of back skiing, you know, in the top 10 there, and that was really exciting. I think nice for him to end the year like that. Yep. It's I think we're so used to having such good results that when you don't have a bunch of podiums, you know, it's easy to get down on things. But I think he still, you know, he's one of the world's best skiers still. He raced well, like I said, 2 weeks ago in Norway when he was there. He's been training really solid, and he seems like he's just very happy, and he's enjoying working with Tor Arne. So it's I think Devin's doing very well, and he got recently engaged to his girlfriend, Kristen Stormer-Stiera, and it's I think, you know, that's always a nice piece of your life to have, and he's got a home now in Canmore, and yeah, I think Devin overall is doing very well, and also I'm looking forward to watching him race this winter.
Absolutely. It was great news. We were excited when we heard the news about him and Kristen. And I think some of the things you mentioned are key in terms of his balance and anybody's balance. So he's certainly, you know, coming second in the overall World Cup not long ago. You know, you don't get there without knowing what to do on the board, so to speak. So.
Oh, yeah, it's in there. And he's, you know, we've gone back to basic, more basic training. We're simplifying things, training a little bit more in volume, and he's a guy that can definitely absorb training well and handle training well. And I think, you know, as long as we're a bit cautious coming into the season with the volume and not overdoing it, he's going to have a very solid year.
We're looking forward to seeing him out there and seeing what he can do. Are there particular goals you have for the season, Justin?
You know, I just want everyone to be healthy and race to their potential. And like I said, we're really trying to keep things a little more simple and just doing the hard work. And if everyone can just go into the season healthy and training well, and I think the season's going to be fine. And we'll be back, you know, where we've been in the past, and get Lenny back going. I think Ivan's also kind of settled in. He got a new place this summer here in Canmore, and that's been a little bit of a load for him to move houses, but he's doing well as well. I think this team is, you know, it's one with a lot of experience, and
for sure
it's fun to see them working with a new coach. You know, it's I think that just injection of new energy and some new ideas and stuff, you know, because cross country skiing isn't rocket science, but you know, 4 years of working with the same kind of workouts like I've given them and stuff, that this new change, it can be just the right thing for them to all have kind of a really great year coming up, new energy. And yeah,
it sounds like there's a lot of that on the table, and you know, there's a easy to look back and say that's behind us and now go forward, and like you said, new energy and new coaching and kind of a new system and new kind of vision for the whole team. Well, you know, Justin, it sounds great, and we're looking forward to seeing how the team will do, and we're going to wish you all the best with it. We want to thank you for spending time with us and letting us know what's going on, and we'll look forward to seeing the team at the Park City Camp. We're talking with you then, and then of course Frozen Thunder, which has become kind of like a kickoff event for everybody in North America, eh?
Yeah, you know, we're trying to step up that level of the races there, the classic sprint and the skate distance race, and U.S. looks like they're coming up here, so that's exciting, and yeah, that's going to be even a bigger race than ever. So it's kind of it's one of the first races in the world for the winter next year, and yeah, it'll be fun to see.
Yeah, excellente. Well, listen, thanks so much for your time, and all the best with the team. We look forward to touching base with you again soon.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Talk soon.